Right now we've got Carborough Mayor Lydia LaBelle here in the studio, and today was National Gun Violence Awareness Day. So Mayor LaBelle is wearing orange and was at that ceremony earlier today at Peace and Justice Plaza, or were you not?
Yes, I was.
All
I
right.
was there, and we did it last year too. Same. This might be the third year that it's been celebrated. But it's really, I think, growing in, kind of awareness the last couple of years. I think I saw today that President Obama tweeted a picture of himself holding a mug that said "Wear Orange," and it's, really I kind of fitting that it's today in North Carolina on the heels of yet another kind of bad bill that's being debated, at least in committee, with regard to gun ownership.
Anyone can carry a concealed weapon without a permit, right?
Right. Anyone over 18,
Over
but
18,
still,
yeah.
yeah. And so it was just kind of a show of force to kind of recognize, all the problems we have with gun control in the country. And there are a lot of kind of groups represented there. The Moms Demanding Action were there, and I'm a member of the Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And then there were representatives there from Gun Sense, America. Just a lot of groups really trying to focus on this message of, we all understand the Second Amendment. People have the right to bear arms. People have the right to have guns. But with every kind of bill that seems to be proposed these days, more and more of the common sense protections that we have seem to be getting chipped away.
Yeah, and one of the things is to not requiring a permit for concealed carry and no background checks for gun show purchases, things like that. And the concern for me, really specifically, is people who have been convicted of violent crimes, people who have been convicted of domestic assault, people who have active restraining orders that have been taken out against them, are able to easily purchase guns, and that's the specific concern for me more than anything
Well,
else.
and that's a huge one. But, so even just things the way they are right now, having, I think Emily Brewer, who spoke at the rally today, said that, 25 of all purchases today are made by folks, private shows, the internet, private sales, the kind of sales that don't have that necessary background check that, you would get if you bought from a dealer or a licensed, person, a licensed individual, where the sheriff does that background check. So already there's at least one fourth of the sales going on out there are going on, maybe to people who, maybe shouldn't have a gun in their hand, certainly without the background check and without the required training.
Yeah.
It's really kind of hard to imagine why we would need to have this extra kind of, I guess, right for gun owners to be able to have concealed weapons. And also, I think they're trying to take away the training requirement with regard to this. And again, right now it's 21 years old and drop it down to 18.
Right.
I remember speaking to a gun rights advocate once, and we were having a pretty good conversation about gun rights. And, when I would bring up these kind of points and say, "Now, how can you possibly disagree with this?" His point to me was, that's not necessarily terrible. It's just that I think gun rights people sometimes don't want to give very much because they're afraid if they give some, then they'll have to give more and more and more and more.
Right.
And I certainly, I can kind of understand that because it works the opposite way
Yeah,
also.
exactly.
But it does seem like, particularly whenever we hear about, yet another violent act of some sort, it does seem like, more and more folks who even, have guns and responsible gun ownership, it does seem like people are hearing the story more. And events like today, that's what they're all about, is to kind of publicize it and get the story out there.
We're talking about gun laws. We're typically talking about laws on the federal level and on the state level. What's to be done locally?
Yeah. So, locally, again, we're in North Carolina, so we're really bound by what the state can tell us we can do. And, for instance, we used to be able to have slightly more control over properties that we owned with regard to gun regulation. And I don't have it right in front of me, but I know that the legislature has done away with what little bit of local control we did have with regard to guns. For example, say in parks and in athletic fields and things like that. You and I know, even with schools, it's been kind of watered down just a little bit. The ability to at least bring them onto the college campuses. So, it's, again, we're in a state where that is kind of set by our state legislature. And so it kind of seems that we'll be looking to, you know, some advocacy of those legislators to let them hear from the people. I mean, you know, you think about it, moms, the group, you know, moms, you know, demanding action. You know, that's as I sat there today and listened to the moms talk, I mean, it's a great moniker. It's a great group to be really out there on the forefront, because one of the moms was saying, you know, like when we grew up, we didn't really worry about our kids kind of, you know, about going over to our friends' houses and everything. The gun laws weren't quite as, there's been an intervening case that kind of made it more clear that this ability to have guns more readily available to people. And so it's something that moms of young children today really think a lot about, because, you know, guns are much more accessible now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Carver and Mayor Lydia LaBelle, the other sort of fact that I've got in the back of my head whenever we talk about gun violence and guns as an issue is that the violent crime rate in the U.S. and the murder rate in particular have been going, and we talk about this violent crime epidemic and gun violence epidemic, but the crime rates have actually been going not just down, but like significantly down for the last 25 years, which always, you know, whenever you're watching the, you know, televised political debates and you've got people saying, oh, there's this epidemic of crime and we need to do this and that and crack down and mandatory minimum sentences and all of these things, makes you pause when you think about that. But also with respect to the gun rights debate, the gun violence debate, is there anything that needs to be done to curb gun violence in a world where the violent crime rate has been going down for an entire generation? It might have upticked in the last like couple of years, but not to the degree that it was in like 1990.
Well, no, that is a great point. Gun violence going down, but you know, then statistically, accidental gun shootings going up, and then you know, the number of folks self-inflicted shots. You know, I myself have two family members who've taken their own lives with guns, and that might get more to what you and I are talking about, right? If they weren't as accessible for people that were struggling with, you know, whatever kind of mental health issues, we might end up saving more lives, you know, let alone the accidental shootings of involving children and or people who haven't gone through the proper training.
Speaking with Carver, Mayor Lydia LaBelle, and you mentioned not a whole lot that local governments can do with respect to the gun issue, because most of the laws are on the federal and state level. Turning to another issue that is sort of along the same lines, yesterday's big news that President Trump was going to begin the process of pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. Obviously, here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Hillsborough and Orange County, we're very environmentally conscious, do as much as we possibly can in order to promote eco-friendly policies, both in terms of just sort of everyday individual living and also in terms of municipalities and government policies. What can be done locally to sort of push back against that? I know the Mayor's Association is speaking out against that. Mayors and governors are speaking out against that. What else is being done locally?
You know, Aaron, I'm really struck by yet another instance where when something that happens at the federal level results in so many citizens and residents of our town reaching out. I mean, I bet I've heard from at least 20 different folks just emailing me or calling me or leaving messages about their, and this is just this morning, about their reaction to the news yesterday that President Trump was you know, pulling out, saying the United States was pulling out of that. But you know, just it reminds me again of this just kind of reassurance that our citizens at the local level need, our citizens and residents at the local level need, that we understand their values and their objectives, and that, you know, one of the national leaders, one of the world leaders, you know, because the world leaders are also criticizing this, right? You know, and they're saying, you know, we've only got one planet. I mean, this is it.
Right.
You know? But anyway, and so what it caused me to do was, you know, kind of remind myself what all we do belong to, what all we have done, because you're right. I mean, there's this group of national mayors who have come together to create kind of a, you know, mayor's climate action group. And frankly, when I first heard about it, I think I'm already a member, you know, and it was yet another group that I'm a member of mayors who are working toward clean energy, another group of mayors, you know, working toward, you know, environmental type issues. And so what I did was I've inquire with this group, send them a few emails. Sometimes groups like these are an outgrowth of like the National Conference of Mayors, which as loud as our bark is, Carver is not a member of some of these groups. You know, it's like there's Philly and New York and, you know, Atlanta and Los Angeles and Carver.
Right, exactly.
So, but anyway, you know, as some of our older folks have said, you know, we deserve to be right there with them. Because, you know, we've really been at the forefront of a lot of this.
Right.
And so I was kind of looking back, you know, at our Carver Vision 2020, you know, which we created in like the year 2000. And we were looking ahead at reducing our energy costs, you know, and looking at ways of energy conservation and so on. And then we adopted our actually climate protection resolution in 2009, where we were trying to, in the town and the community, cut our CO2 emissions to a certain percentage, right? And then and so we started a townwide inspection of our own kind of footprint, if you will. Then, and then of course within the last year, we passed. A more recently, a community climate action plan, which outlines, you know, a lot of ways that we'd like to have our community address, you know, climate issues.
Right.
And so we're working on rolling that out this year and trying to get out more into our communities, because within the plan, we recommend, you know, we're trying to adopt a goal of 50% reduction in per capita greenhouse gas emissions in less than 10 years, and to cut it, in other words, cutting our carbon footprint in half over, you know, the next decade for our whole community. And so, because our town is just a little small part of our town operations are a very small part of Carrboro, and so trying to work to get the rest of the community on board with that. But no, these initiatives are nothing new for us, and anything that we can do to get our community active around this, and also to talk to other mayors across North Carolina, mm-hmm. to make sure that they also are on board and understand the implications that how we need to step up at the local level and kind of, you know, let the world know that this is not necessarily the way that many leaders feel.
When it comes to the sort of carbon footprint for a town like Carrboro, what's the biggest source of carbon emissions for the town?
Yeah, one of the biggest for us is energy. Mm-hmm. It is energy. So, you know, power, and we to that end, you know, so what happens is you identify all these problems, and it's like, gosh, how do we fix them?
Right.
So one of the things
we say this in a room with. Four microphones, two computers, a soundboard, two fluorescent lights, and I think the thermostat is set on 64 right now, the way
okay,
it feels.
But yet it's a fairly new office, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're in a building in Town Hall that was built in, you know, the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that, as you know, we're doing is looking at all of our town buildings and trying to figure out ways to increase our efficiencies in Town Hall, increase our, you know, heating and cooling and weather stripping and doors and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's a huge one, though. I mean, that's one of the largest is mm-hmm. energy. I mean, we've been doing things like trying to shift out some of our fleet where it makes sense, and trying to use like biodiesel where it makes sense. You know, trying to use some encourage the use of, like, you know, turning off cars instead of having them stall and things like that. As you know, as well as all the other values our town has, where we're trying to recycle and, you know, those kind of things.
And turning off the car is an important one, because that's a shift, that's a mentality shift from 20 years ago when they said let the car idle, because if you turn it off and turn it back on again, that wastes more energy. But now we've got the technology where it doesn't.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even know if your car's on or off.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right, right.
The kind of car
right,
you may have or not have. But in any event, it's, you know, it's kind of, again, remembering those things that we can do locally and then spreading the word to other organizations. And, yeah, it's important to be a member of groups like, you know, the Mayors for Clean Energy or the, you know, the name of the other group, I guess, American Cities Climate, you know, Mayors for Climate Change initiatives. But, you know, that's part of it. But the other part is putting it all into action, mm-hmm. you know.
What can individuals do?
Well, I'll tell you, individuals can take a look at our Community Climate Action Plan, which is on our website. You know, you can just kind of Google that and you'll come up with it. But I'll tell you, one of the things in it, Aaron, there's a report in the back of that in the appendix that I have read myself. And it said something like, it's entitled something like How the Jones Family cut their footprint, you know, by X percent over 10 years. And every year the family would do something different. You know, like this year they replaced out maybe all the weather stripping and windows. The next year they analyzed all their cars and traded them in for more efficient cars, and someone started taking a bike, you know. The next year they started looking at their activities that they did, and they started doing things that were more outside and didn't require as much power. I mean, every year they kind of took a conscious way. You know, I think another year they started buying foods that were local, that weren't brought in on, you know, semi-trucks from across the country. Another year, I think they resolved to eat less meat, because meat also is manufacturing, creates more gas emissions because of the way it's processed. Mm. So it was just a kind of a methodical way that one family really tried to analyze everything about the way they did everything and gradually reduce their individual footprints. That's what an individual family could do.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org is the website if you want to get more information about town business. Got a Board of Aldermen meeting on Tuesday, right? And Brewer Lane is on the agenda?
Yes, we do. And you know, it's so Tuesdays are really, you know, as all these meetings in June are, we've got a lot of stuff going on every meeting. But one I know in particular that I think is kind of an interesting one is for some time we've had in our transportation plan a placeholder for improvements at Brewer Lane, Merritt Mill Road, kind of the intersection where Carborough and Chapel Hill come together.
That's where Maine becomes Franklin and Merritt Mill and Brewer
Garage, near St. Paul Church. And so it's just really awkward. Anyone who has walked down there on either side knows it's just awkward, unusual, hard walk.
Yep.
And so DOT has presented us, they presented, I guess, the planners with several possible ways to deal with that intersection, none of which are completely ideal. But I think there are a couple of choices or alternatives that we're going to be looking at and discussing on Tuesday night. One involves, I think one selection maybe involves a roundabout, which maybe isn't necessarily ideal because it takes away some property, which is not, if it meant a much more efficient means of getting through that intersection, it might not necessarily be a bad choice. But there is another choice, which mainly kind of improves the sidewalks, improves the signage. I think it adds a lane on one side. It might make another lane one way. But anyway, we're going to be analyzing that on Tuesday. I think Chapel Hill has already looked at it. The greater kind of improvements and or slash burden seems to be on the Carborough side at this particular intersection. Mm-hmm. But be interested for folks to just kind of check that out and think about it. And I know I was talking with a town worker who we had talked about it a week or two ago, and she had walked by there more recently and said, wow, I see what you mean. I really see what you mean. It's very awkward
around
there.
You're really going to have to scurry across that kind of long stretch of road.
There are some ways to improve that intersection. So that's just one of many things we'll be doing on Tuesday night at our meeting.
I do love, I remember a long time ago, this came up with Meg McGurk. It's like, you know, it's local radio. And it's like, you know, that one intersection where it's really hard to cross it. Yes, right. I know. It's so annoying.
That crack in the sidewalk.
I trip on it every time. Every single time, right? Yeah, we were talking about a particular tree, and I mentioned it. And it's like, oh yeah, that tree. You know,
We're way too into our jobs here.
All right, anything else going on in Carborough people want to know about?
You know, it's again just a busy time. June is one of those months where we'll start. Every month is something, right? So this month we'll be celebrating Immigrant Heritage Month, which I always really enjoy doing because it you know makes us kind of reflect on our whole community. We'll be celebrating Pride Month. Pride Proclamation. And then this Tuesday, we also are going to be recognizing our local state champions, our
Carborough Women's
soccer team, who that's a little tradition I started when I became mayor.
Of recognizing the Carborough women's soccer team since they win three years in a row now.
And in particular, I think last year, Mayor Hemming and I decided that she would start to do the Chapel Hill teams and I would start doing Carborough teams because 1 year it got really ridiculous. I was afraid we were going to have five teams.
Well, it's
a nice problem to have. Yeah. I kind of worry for the day when we have the football team, you know, win and have all, because I always call
like
their names.
Oh, like 60 people, coming in, right.
But anyway, on Tuesday night, we'll get to celebrate the Carborough women's soccer team for their third state championship. And
Very
boy,
cool.
That's just really fabulous.
Yeah, awesome. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.